Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right, all right. God bless you, our radio listeners. God bless you on tonight. We'd like to thank God for giving us another opportunity here at Praise Tabernacle Church, our Tuesday night Bible study. We would like to thank God for you tuning in. We'd like to give special shout-outs to Elder Derek and Lady Keisha Oliver and for allowing us this opportunity, another avenue to spread the gospel, spread the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and thank you so much for how you have supported us through your listening over the past few months. We're grateful to God for you, and you are constantly in our prayers. Even though we may not have met any of you physically, we thank God that spiritually we are connected through the blood of Jesus Christ. On tonight, we have several of our leadership team, as we know you have been accustomed to hearing. We got Elder Richard Taylor. He's going to be leading our Bible study tonight. We also have Evangelist Dove Stanton. She's on. We also have Elder Victor Bluett and yours truly. And I think my precious wife may be tuning in also. And we would just like to thank you once again. Thank you so much for supporting Praise Tabernacle Tuesday night Bible study. We're going to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be that of Elder Richard Taylor. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. As we get ready to enter into this service, we pray that you will have your way. We ask that you would touch the message and the messenger. We know that your word would not return to you void, and we thank you for him on tonight. We thank you for our panel, our leadership team that's going to be chiming in on tonight, and we pray that someone's life is changed through the message on tonight. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we say amen. Elder Taylor, service is into your hands.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. And once again, I appreciate the opportunity to speak in this forum. And everybody that's on board listening, all the parts of our leadership team, everybody that's listening out there, I thank God for this opportunity. And just give God all the glory and honor. And tonight, we want to talk about the necessity of the Holy Ghost. The necessity of the Holy Ghost. Is it important that we walk in the Holy Ghost? Is it important that we have the Holy Ghost? Do we need the Holy Ghost? These are questions that I've had with, and I've asked people, and that I've had conversations with people in the past And I've been told that it ain't necessary to get into heaven to have the Holy Ghost. And again, anybody that's on the forum tonight, just chime in. Anything you want to add, comment on, just jump right in as we move on through the lesson. Is it necessary? You know, again, like I was just saying, someone once told me, a relative of mine, through marriage, told me that we don't need the Holy Ghost to get into heaven. I said, okay. And that's what they believe. And it's probably a lot of people out here in the world that believe that. They believe that they can just have a good moral compass and do right and treat people right, and that's going to be enough. Do we need the Holy Ghost to be saved? My first thought would be, you don't need the Holy Ghost to get saved. That comes by faith and acknowledging and opening up your heart and asking God to come in and save you. But what I believe is that you need the Holy Ghost to stay saved, to give you the power to fight against the wiles of the enemy, to give you the power to for healing, the power for deliverance, to be able to discern the things of God because of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost bears witness with his spirit. And as you grow and mature in the things of God, in the Word of God, that power of the Holy Ghost brings that word to life more and more and more in you. And you can get good and great revelation of the word and the mysteries of the word. Because I hear people talk about, and we're going to get into some scriptures here in a minute, that talk about the Bible just seems so confusing. It's all the dims and the thous and the theys, and you get all these different publications of the Bible, the NIV, and all these other different new translations, and all these different they dumb it down. Seems like, you know, from the King James version, and I don't understand it. And my question would be: is if you had the Holy Ghost, that would give you a way to understand the word, the Logos, the written word. And then that way you can speak it with power of the Holy Ghost. And you can get an understanding as the Holy Ghost teaches you all things and becomes a comforter to you. And that you can discern the things of God as he speaks to you, because now you're in friendship with Jesus. Now you are heir unto the Father and joint heir with Jesus Christ, because the Holy Ghost connects you. The Holy Ghost is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So why would someone believe or think that it is not necessary?
Right.
If it's part of the Trinity. Why would somebody believe and think that, oh, I can get into heaven without it? Personally, based on what I've read in the scripture, based on what I believe, is that you can't stay saved without the Holy Ghost. That is what's needed. You don't need it, as I said earlier, you don't need it to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
But you need it to stay saved. You need it to be able to fight in the spirit. Because we don't fight. The scripture tells us that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but
right.
against principalities and wickedness and things in high places. So how do you fight? How do you spiritually warfare if you don't have the spirit? So people, I just want us to. And some of this may be elementary to some people that's listening, but I want us to understand the importance and the necessity of the Holy Ghost. I was talking to my sister earlier today, and she said her one of her associate pastors called her and said the Lord spoke to her and was talking to her about where is the Holy Ghost at in the body of Christ today. You know, because we need it. We got to have it so that it can teach us things. Let's go over into Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to go over there and read a few scriptures out of there, and just to kind of solidify what I've been saying, because, you know, you need this to discern. You need it because it heals your body. You need it because it you could try the spirit by the spirit. You need it because it brings deliverance. You can read this word, but the Holy Ghost brings this word to life. It gives this word power in you. You know, you don't have to, because when we do things in the flesh, we're going to mess it up. But when we listen to the Holy Ghost, have an ear to hear to what the Spirit is saying, we could be all right. So we're over in Romans 8. And we're going to start with the first verse. And it reads, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, again, this is Paul speaking to the Romans and to the Roman church during this time. And he's talking about how the Spirit can deliver us from the power of the flesh. Because the Holy Ghost will, when you feel with the Holy Ghost, I think, Elder Blewett said last week or a week or two ago, a couple of times ago, he preached, he talked about that you can't be possessed when by any demons or anything when you're, correct me if I'm wrong, Elder Blewett, but you can't be possessed if you're a child of God. And what allows you not to be possessed? Because if you got the Holy Ghost in you, can't no other demon, and you're doing the things of God, and you're living right, and you're walking right, and you got the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you, dwelling down on the inside of you, there's no demon that has the power to possess you.
Come on.
There's no demon that has power to try to control you. There's nothing that a demon can do to you. It could come and try to suppress you a little bit. It could come and try to, you know, do things to you on the outward side of you, to your surroundings. But to you as a person individually, it cannot, it doesn't have the power that the Holy Ghost has. Anything with you as a man or woman of God that possesses the gift of the Holy Ghost in your life, we got to have it.
Come on.
I would tell any and everybody that I talk to, you got to have it. You need it. It's the third part of the Trinity. He said the back for a reason. You know, you got my word, you building my word and everything, but I got to send back a comforter. I got to send back the Holy Ghost to you so that it can teach you all things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a comforter to you. Because when you got the Holy Ghost down on the inside, it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. You know, your flesh may want you to feel a certain way, but the Holy Ghost will tell you, no, you don't have to feel that way. You can still have peace in the circumstances. Because I believe when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, it was rocking and rolling, and water was coming all in the boat and everything, and they were panicking, and he was asleep. He was sick because he is the Holy Ghost. He was at peace.
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost hadn't came on the scene yet for them.
Right.
They were still fleshly.
Right.
So they didn't understand what was going on. And then when he woke up, you know, he was kind of bothered by them. And he said, "Peace be still." And they was like, what kind of man is this? That he can speak to the wind, to walk, and it be still. Because he's the Holy Ghost walking and talking. He's the Word walking and talking. They couldn't understand that because they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them to bear witness with his spirit.
That's
what we got to be today. That's what we got to be today. That's what, and we got to share this with people that believe with the opposite. Okay, let's move right along. Verse 3. For what the law, see, this is good right here. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. All right? Because the law was written by men of flesh. All right? The law wasn't written by the Holy Ghost. All right? It was written by men of flesh. All right? That's what the word was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus condemned, he was in the flesh, but he condemned sin because he was the Holy Ghost. He was the Son of the Father. Amen? Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
All right.
See, that's that. You know, when you wanna do wrong, but when you feel with the Holy Ghost will quicken you. Be like, you can't do that. When you're thinking the wrong thing, and the Holy Ghost will come and say, I'll be like, Lord, arrest those thoughts in my mind, because I know I want to get that person for what they said or did. You know, but that ain't me no more, because the Holy Ghost changes me. As I mature and grow in the things of God and in his word, the Holy Ghost becomes the Holy Ghost makes that word more powerful in me, and I can speak those things because I hide those things upon my heart that I may not sin against him, as David wrote in Psalms, right? So I got to have the Holy Ghost. I got to have it because it helps me pray when I need to pray. It helps me fast. It helps me be disciplined. It helps me be focused. It helps me control the lust of it helps me to control the lust of the flesh when my flesh don't want to do it, but the Holy Ghost say, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray. You know, but my flesh and the Holy Ghost, if you truly love the Lord and you truly have a relationship with him, because through the Holy Ghost and you have friendship with him, you can do these things. And it becomes easier the more you grow, the more you mature. Will it always be easy? No, because your flesh, the spirit, in the word, it talks about there's a constant warfare between the spirit and the flesh. A constant warfare, not a sometime warfare, not an every now and then warfare, that is a constant warfare between the spirit and the flesh. When the Holy Ghost comes and dwells in you, the flesh don't like it. Because now the flesh got to succumb to the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to make your flesh fall subject to it and to your carnal thinking. Amen? So we got to have it. We say, people, we got to have it. You got to have it. If anybody tells you you don't need it, tell them, I got to have it. Other tell you, I got to have it. The Word say I got to have it. Don't even tell them what other tell them. Just take it to the Word. Take it to the Word. All right, let's move right along. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what I was just saying. But they that are after the spirit, things of the spirit. See, when you got the Holy Ghost, it tells you to do certain things that's of the spirit. See, it's going to tell you to change what you used to do. It's going to tell you to change how you used to talk. It's going to tell you to change how you used to think. See, I'm confessing with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God rose Jesus. But now I need that same power. I need that thing that's going to keep me.
There you go.
It's going to help me. I need that thing that's going to help me to keep my witness. I need that thing that's going to help me keep when things come against me, when things of my past try to get me, try to drag me back out there. After the enemy know I've confessed with my mouth and now I believe in my heart that God rose Jesus on the third day. And now I believe I'm saved. Now here the enemy gonna come. The enemy gonna come. But what do you have to protect you and to help you and to guide you if you don't have the Holy Ghost?
All right.
You can read all of this word. And it's good word. It's a good thing to have. But the Holy Ghost brings this word to life in you. The Holy Ghost
right.
brings this word to life in you. Because the enemy knows this word.
Right.
But he can't live it. See, the Holy
mm-hmm.
Ghost allows you to live this word. The Holy Ghost allows you to live what you read in this word. And it reveals the mysteries of this word, the things that seem confusing to a non-believer, the things that seem difficult to someone that haven't confessed their Lord and Savior. And see, that's the thing about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will not only allow Jesus to be your Savior, but it allows Jesus to be your Lord because of your relationship with Him. See, because the Holy Ghost will make that flesh succumb to the Holy Ghost, which allows it makes it much easier for you to be obedient to the things
right.
of God.
All right.
Because you can read this word all day. You know, and you can get delivered, I believe, through the word. But what's going to keep you delivered? What's going to keep you saved?
What's going to help
you? What you just said. Yeah. What's going to help you? What is going to help you? All right, we're going to take a break. Just got a message. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're here from you're right here from Evangelist Stanton. When we get back, we'll finish on up. Go ahead, Elder Oliver.
You're listening to The Sound.
Good evening, everyone. We are so glad that you decided to join us for our Tuesday night Bible study. We would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry, big or small. Whatever God puts on your heart to give, we just ask that you don't give grudgingly or under compulsion. There are two ways that you can give tonight. One way is by Cash App. Our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is $P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit card, debit card, or PayPal, and you can call our offices at 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. And we're going to turn it back over to Elder Taylor. But right before we turn it back over, Elder, I do have two questions to ask on this study on tonight.
Go ahead.
My first question is the Holy Spirit an it or an he? Or he? And is it a gift?
It's a he, and I can tell you where it says it's a he. Over in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things.
All things
to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's John 14, verse 26 and 27. All right. And over in Acts, Pastor Scripture Sunday.
Acts 2.
Acts 2 and 38.
Yeah.
And you asked, was it
a gift?
Was it a gift?
Yes.
Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
That's good. Yes. Good question and good answer.
So,
Great question.
It's very powerful.
Yes.
And it's something that we got to have.
Yes.
Let's go back over here to Romans.
Hey, Elder Ted.
Yes, go ahead.
I do want to make one small comment. I just want to go back into Romans, that first verse. And then I think you're on the fifth, though, but I do want to go to that first verse where it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I did mention, I think, last week about a child of God cannot be possessed by the devil. This first verse right here is the reason why. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ either. In other words, Christ, God does not condemn Christ, and he will not condemn those out of Christ. So we are highly protected from God himself through Christ, and we're protected from the elements of the world.
Great point.
All right. Good. Thank you, sir. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And verse 6, I think that is self-explanatory. I think that, you know, if you do mind the things of the flesh, you're going to do things of the flesh.
That's right.
Period. But that's why we got to focus on the things of the Spirit. We got to focus on what God is showing us in the Spirit and make our flesh fall subject.
Right.
To that the Holy Ghost brings the anointing. The Holy Ghost brings so many things to us to give us weapons to fight with in this world. And it allows us to see things in the spirit realm and through a spiritual eye that the average normal unbeliever or someone that don't believe in God can't see.
Right.
Where we can discern things because of the Holy Ghost in our life, speaking to us in our spirit, bearing witness with his spirit.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to be just anybody that loves the Lord, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, when I go pray for somebody in the hospital, I'm trusting and believing, because it's not me that's hopefully having the power to heal. It's the Holy Ghost within me.
Right.
To encourage this person, and based on what they believe, I'm encouraged based on what they believe that they can get healed. Because it's not my flesh that's doing it. It's the Holy Ghost within me. It's the anointing that's around me. Verse 6. For the carnally minded is for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We got to have the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's hatred. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Plain and simple. When we do things in our flesh, that ain't pleasing God. When you pray in your flesh, what's the scripture that says, you know, Jesus, help me. Somebody help me. We cannot please God. We do our things by the spirit and the flesh. Oh, yeah, I can't think of it. It comes to me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Bring it back to my
There you go. There you go.
Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, in this next clause, the C clause. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, here it is. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Right. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
That's what the word says.
Uh-oh.
I read it, but I didn't write this. Paul wrote this based on what he knows. With Jesus telling him, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's not his. Now that might ruffle up some feathers, that they may get some people kind of a little riled up, but is it the truth? Because that's what I'm reading in my Bible. I mean, I got a King James. Somebody might have a new translation or NIV or something. It might read a little different. But mine, that's what mine says. So, in other words, if you don't have it, how are you going to be an heir with him?
Right. Come on,
joint
preacher.
How are you going to be an heir to the Father and joint heirs with Christ? What makes you a joint heir with Jesus Christ to the Father? The Holy Ghost brings you sonship to the Father. Y'all don't like that.
Walk with it.
We gotta have this. You know, there's no if, way, and around it. You gotta have it because I need it. I want it because I want the power to be able to stay delivered. I want the power to be able to stay saved. I want the power for my mind to always be right. You know, and I want the power to, because of the Holy Ghost, to say the right things, but my flesh want to say something else. Because there's been many times in my walk with the Lord where my flesh will want me to do something or say something, you know, and the Holy Ghost is like, no. Do it the right way.
Sure.
And then there's sometimes where I just ignore, the Holy Ghost and let my flesh run.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, because you have the power to just ignore the Holy Ghost.
There you go.
You just ignore.
Yep.
But his job is to empower us against the wiles of life and against the tricks and the devices of the enemy, and to keep us saved, to teach us through his word, to deliver us. Because Jesus, he was such a bad man. He just spoke to the devil. He didn't do all of this praying and laying on hands. He just said, because that's how bad he was. Because he was all the Holy Ghost, everything. Everything about him was the Holy Ghost. You know, he had all power in his hands, and he just like, just be gone. You know, wouldn't that be great to have that kind of power, to walk in that kind of power, let the Holy Ghost reign in you that strong that you can just speak to the enemy and just say, be thou gone, and it's gone?
Wow.
Just
come on.
People, just touch people and they're healed, just instantly healed. or whatever disease they got, just touch them. And because of the Holy Ghost that reigns in you, the Holy Ghost that operates in you and moves all about, you have such a relationship with the Lord that, you know, and he's gave you the Holy Ghost, and you just walking and talking and believing and trusting and walking by faith in God, that you can just walk up to somebody that's sick and just touch them, be thou healed, and keep on moving, and they get up, take their bed, and walk.
Right, right.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh, God.
Right.
I would love to have that kind of, and it's about faith, because he said he'd give you, he'll teach you all things because of it. Amen? All right, verse 10, we're almost done. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Each scripture just compounding it and letting you know, you if you have none, if you don't have the spirit, you're none of his. You got to get it. And it's telling you what's going to happen when you get it.
Yes, sir.
It's going to tell you what's going to happen when you get it. It's going to quicken your mortal body. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken your mortal body. I mean, I get excited about when we start talking about. I mean, I get excited about a lot of things in the world that concerns Jesus. But when we start talking about the Holy Ghost and the power and what it can do, that's just something that really excites me, because I know that's the only thing that keeps me saved.
Yeah.
It's not just the word; it's the Holy Ghost that keeps me saved, that keeps me from wanting to go. Because the enemy will come and he tries to look around and look in the house and see if you still saying who you say you are. And still saying that, you know, you sure you don't want to go back out there and what a little bit? You know, the enemy will come around and text you and try you. But what's to keep you from to the enemy? What's to keep you from not doing what the enemy wants you to do or wants you to say? What's to keep you from falling?
Mm-hmm. Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, on that, you be rolling through these scriptures, man. I just gotta back up one more time to verse 8, and it simply says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and they're simply put, wonderfully wrote, but it's simple to us to understand verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." We got to be very careful how we treat people. Very careful how they may be in people would have us to act out, would have
yes,
us
sir.
Come out of town. We're not always in the spirit.
Right.
We have to be careful how we talk to people and how we treat even ourselves and other, but and it's simple. That verse 8 is so simple, and I can roughly put it as church folk versus a Christian. But church folk, because they're used to coming to church, what kind of atmosphere it is, and who's saying this, that, and the other, waiting for soothsayers to say whatever to them. We got to be careful saying that we are people of God, but then get upset when somebody says something rude to us. And every time that Jesus has something rude to say to him or was said to him, he always used the word or something kind coming out of him to diminish.
That's good,
you know,
man.
We got to be careful that the flesh, we don't get into the flesh, because that's not pleasing to God. But ye are not
right.
In the flesh, in the spirit, like teaching. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if the spirit of God dwells in us, we shouldn't have a terrible fight to be in the flesh right. or not to be in the flesh. We should have to fight that every day. As a matter of fact,
wow.
as this Christian life, every day that God gives us, we ought to be practicing, so to speak, to
wow.
do right.
Yes,
to
sir.
Be right. And once you done professionalize that, or once you have mastered that, it's hard for you to get in the flesh. Because soon as the thought mm-hmm. arises in your mind, you already know what's wrong. It's just those mm-hmm. that allow the flesh to be used by them is that when it forms in their mind, they don't care. They just want to
wow.
say it. So as we walk, we get, as we walk, get permission from God through the Holy Ghost to be stable, to be a
mm-hmm.
for real in Jesus. Yes, sir.
Great point. Great point.
Great point. That's very true and great point. You know, because that the Holy Ghost stabilizes you and you know, like you said, Elder Blue, it when you practice it enough because of the Holy Ghost, it becomes easier. And
it becomes
mature. Because we all. Right. And because when you mature, because if you're young in the Lord and you need to mature, you know, and you need to practice the things, and the Holy Ghost makes it easier for you to be able to do these things on a consistent basis. And like you said, it becomes so natural to you. Kind of sounds funny saying natural and spirit in the same sense like this, but it becomes so natural to you spiritually that it don't seem right when you go back and do it. And because of the Holy Ghost, will be like, wait a minute, what are you doing here?
You condemn
right.
yourself.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So good point, sir. All right, well, we're almost done. Verse 12, I think I'm at.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, verse 12.
No, verse 11.
Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
Mm-hmm.
That dwells in you. So, and like I just said, that same spirit that raised Jesus is going to reign in your mortal body and quicken your mortal body, or my mortal body. That same spirit, that same power that raised Jesus, that same thing that raised him from the dead. Could quicken my mortal body.
That's right. Make it alive. Make it alive.
Based on what we do. Why would we want that? Why would we fight against that? Why would we say, I don't need that? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you ever thought you didn't need the Holy Ghost and you listening today, please. Know that you need it. You gotta have it. You gotta have it. Know that? Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Because of the Spirit, it will mortify the deeds of the body and will cause us to live. To live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they all are sons of God. And that's what I was saying before. You know, that it gives you sonship. The Holy Ghost gives you sonship. When you have His Spirit, I can identify with the Spirit of God. Because see, he can't identify with this. He created the flesh, but he can't identify with the flesh because he's not flesh. That's why we got to have the Holy Ghost. So that's what he identifies with. That's why we got to have, that's why he sent it back, because he know he can talk to the Holy Ghost that operates in us. You know, because that, you know, you ain't going to hear from him like he needs you to hear from him in your flesh. So that Holy Ghost has to identify, bear witness with his spirit.
Right.
We got to be there. We got to have it. Amen. So moving right along. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Amen. And what that's saying is that when a person believes in Christ as Savior, his estate is wonderfully changed from grim condemnation to a privileged sonship. This new standing grants to all believers the legal right and spiritual privilege of divine sonship, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Plain and simple. I don't know how many more ways I can suggest it or convince someone to understand that you got to have this Holy Ghost, because it's such an advantage and gives you such spiritual privileges as a man or woman of God as you walk with God and as you mature in the Word and grow in the Word and allow the Holy Ghost to bring that Word to life in you and develop in you. And you can tell, you know, who got it and who don't. Like Elder Blue was talking about church folks and Christians. There's a difference. Because everybody go to church ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. They just church go.
Right. That's right.
And how they deal with you. You know, and how they talk to you. That's how you can tell who got it and who don't.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Verse 16 going into 17, and we're ended right there. The spirit itself bears witness. The spirit, his spirit, capital letter S. The spirit itself bears witness with whose spirit? Our spirit, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together with Jesus. Because that spirit, that Holy Ghost spirit has gotten us through all the way to the end. Until we can be glorified with Jesus. I want to be glorified with I want this Holy Ghost to keep me so that I can be glorified with him. I want this gift that God gives us to be glorified so that I can go with him. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, anyone that's listening, please understand that you don't need the Holy Ghost to get saved, but you need it to stay saved. But it is a necessity for us to walk right, to talk right, to live right. You know, people say, well, I'm a good person, I have a good moral compass, and this and that and the other, you know, but, you know, well, what is your relationship like with Jesus? I really don't have one, I really don't, but I'm a good person, I treat people right. You know, I don't mess people in, you know. Well, that may be true. But if you don't have a solidified relationship with God, with Jesus, then that gets you nowhere when it comes to where you spend eternity.
Yes, sir.
You know, so just have a good moral compass is not enough. That's good.
Right.
That's a good starting point, but it's not enough.
Right.
You know, you got to confess and believe that Jesus is who he said he is and that God rose him. You got to believe that. You got to confess that and believe that with your heart to be saved. And then you got to ask the Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost so that I can maintain this salvation that you allowed me to get. Allow me to have the Holy Ghost that I could, so that I can see the wild as I mature, as a babe in Christ, as I begin to grow and begin to read your word, and allow this Holy Ghost to give me understanding and revelation of your word and how I can apply this word to my life, how I can apply this word to people around me, and how I can share this word to people that's around me, that I can speak it in spirit and in truth. There you go, Holy Ghost. Thank you. It came back to me, Pastor. The Holy Ghost took that back and brought it right back to me. You know, I can do all things in spirit and in truth. So I can talk to you and share with you and tell you how the Holy Ghost has delivered me.
Right.
And set me free. Or healed my body. Or, you know, healed my mind. You know, or whatever the case may be, brought me out of a bad situation. The circumstances was bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is because we have the Holy Ghost don't mean that the enemy not gonna try us.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't
right.
mean he's not gonna try us. You know, he gonna try us, but he only has the power that the Lord allows him to have.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He only has the power that the Lord allows him to have. You know, but we gotta be spiritual enough and the Holy Ghost filled. To know how to deal with it, how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's it. Does anybody got anything else they would like to add? You know,
yeah, Elder, let me before we close out, man, you did a great job. And I know we can really open up some cans regarding the Holy Ghost, especially those of us that have been in church for a good number of years. Evangelist Stanton brought up a great question about it being a gift. And the answer you so eloquently gave, according to the word, that it is a gift. When someone gives you a gift, there's nothing you have to do to obtain it. There's, you know, here's a gift. You don't have to pay for it. There's no back taxes on it. You know, when I give a gift, it's something that's, you know, it's free, you know, giving it to you. So yes, we it's the gift. Is the Holy Ghost is a gift to the believer. Now, one of the in Christendom, especially in Pentecostalism, one of the major debates have been, and you didn't even say this tonight, but one of the major debates have been around charismatics and, you know, those back in Azusa, you know, and all that was the evidence of the Holy Ghost
is
speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And that's what has been. That's, yeah, I know. It's a whole. We can go a whole nother hour or two. Matter of fact, we can go for years because it's still a big debate now.
Yeah.
I found out is folks can speak in tongue, and at that same tongue, they can lie and still claim to have the Holy Ghost. They can speak in tongues and cuss you out in the same in that same tongue. And claim to have the Holy Ghost. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels that have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we're not going to get into that, but we just want to let our listening audience know it's a gift. And there's been for years, there's been a debate on, hey, that what gets me is, We all talk about the unknown tongue, which Paul kind of went over in, I think, 1 Corinthians 13 or 14, 15, somewhere around there. But I don't hear many folks when they receive what we would call the baptism or the indwelling or the infilling. You know, we done said so much stuff nowadays. Everybody, a lot of folks confused anyway. But on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in other tongues. They spoke in other language. The wonderful works of God, they spoke the gospel. They spoke what had just happened 50 days prior to Jesus and about his resurrection and all that. But now I've been in church my whole life. And not one time have I heard anybody that claimed that the evidence of speaking in the evidence of having the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. Not one time have I heard anybody speak in a other tongue. I done heard ta-ta-ta, shoo-shoo-shoo, e-ba-shante-bo-ho-ka-ta. I done heard all that. Matter of fact, I'm guilty. I've done it. I have done it. But when I go back, as I've gotten older and started pastoring and stopped looking at what they've told me traditionally and went to the Word of God, I found it baffling that I can't find nobody that has spoke in other tongues. And I'm just, is God only, was that, I mean, is the unknown tongue, because see what happens is the unknown tongue, first of all, unless you got an interpreter, okay, you shouldn't be speaking in unknown tongues in the church in the first place. Okay, now that's, I know I'm going to make folk mad. I know folk, all of you may get some extra calls on this tonight, but you know, I'm a grown man. I can stand on my own. I'm just trying to understand. First of all, when Paul talked, and first of all, in the Corinthian church, the reason why he had to come back and discuss this is because they dealt with a lot of pagan tongues. Right. Okay, they dealt with a lot of pagan tongues, and that same spirit infiltrated, tried to come into the church. So what Paul said was, if you're going to speak in unknown tongues, that should be by two or three. And then in its course, meaning one at a time, not everybody getting up and just yada-ba-ba-ba and yabba-dabba-doo and all this. No, that's out of order according to what Paul taught to the Corinthian church. He said you do it in its course, and then you should have an interpreter. Because if you don't have an interpreter and the church is doing that, if someone come in that's a stranger, they're going to look at you like you crazy because they don't understand. Paul said, I would rather you prophesy. And what is that prophesy? It's not just, it's inclusive of the Word of God, it's inclusive of preaching, but it's also foretelling and forthtelling. And the reason why he said, I'd rather you prophesy is for the simple fact people can understand what you are saying if you prophesy. But what we have done in Pentecostalism, Lord help me tonight, God help me on tonight, what we've done is, look, I want to know who done spoke in other tongue, who done spoke in other language. Matter of fact, how do you even know you did it unless it required someone to be there in order to hear you speak the Word of God? Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble tonight. Lord, I'm in trouble. I got the saints are going crazy. The saints are going crazy. But let's think about it. Okay, we go over to Mexico. We got the Holy Ghost. Right. Like, if we're going to do it the way they told us, the way they've told us, if we got the Holy Ghost, okay, and we go to Mexico, why do you need an interpreter? Why do you need somebody? If you really got it like the Bible say, if we're going to go, if we're going to go based on what they taught us, that that's the evidence, then why do you need an interpreter when you should have the Holy Ghost that should be able to give you that other language to speak?
Yes, sir.
So I'm just saying, we've done a lot of things. And what we found out, let's just be honest, what we found out, some of these same ones that were saying in one ear, let go, and in the other ear, they were saying hold on, amen. In the one ear, they were saying let go. The other ear, they were saying hold on, and you didn't know what to do. You didn't know whether to let go or to hold on. And then come to find out, that mother or whoever that was in your ear, she was a bootlegger. She was a whore. She got children, amen. She got a children by the bishop. She got a child by the pastor. Okay, and these same pastors and bishops that's been telling us, you got to have it this way, you got to have it that way, they got children out of wedlock, and they gay. They homosexual. So this thing has really baffled me when it comes down to what they've told us is evidence of having the Holy Ghost. I should be able to, if I never hear you speak in tongues, I should be able to look at your life and see you got the Spirit of God in you.
Yes, sir.
I should be able to see it. And then you talk, Lord, I got to be through. We done jumped, Elder Taylor, you mentioned tonight the gifts of healing. Paul gives, he gives over in 1 Corinthians. The only thing y'all got to do is go read it. Listen, audience, don't take my word for it. Go read it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, I think 12, 13, 14, 15. It's all in there. It's all in there. And the last gift that Paul discussed, the last one, gift of the Holy Ghost that he discussed, was the unknown tongue. Was the unknown, and it was a gift. It was a, that even being able to speak in tongues was a gift. Okay, it was a gift. That wasn't the. I don't believe, Lord, I'm getting in trouble. I don't. Lord, help me tonight. That is the final evidence of having the Holy Ghost. That's a gift. That's one of the things that come with you having it. Paul said, shall we all speak in tongues? No. Everybody ain't going to do. Lord, help me tonight. Help me tonight. Lord, I'm messing up. I'm messing up. I'm messing up theology. Lord, I'm losing folks. But this is the word. And what we've done for years, because grandma said it was done this way, granddaddy did it this way, my roots are Church of God in Christ, okay, that's my roots, by way of the United Churches of God in Christ, that's my, and these things have been taught to us and instilled in us and told us, you know, certain things. But then when I got able enough to go back and read the Bible for myself, and I started wondering and looking, I said, well, why did Paul tell the church, you know, he'd rather you prophesy or all this speaking in tongues, you know, somebody got to be quiet. And then he told them, you know, if you're going to speak in tongues, you don't have nobody to interpret, you're speaking in other tongues, you need to do that at home. Do that at home, because that you glorifying yourself. Okay, but what has happened in our churches is, you know, we want to get up, be in front of everybody, and and disrupt the service and all that. But according to what the scriptures say, you shouldn't do that at home unless you have an interpreter, unless you have an interpreter to explain to the people what you're saying. If you don't have no interpreter, okay, and you don't have the gift of interpretation, okay, you sit your little self down somewhere. And if 5 or 10 of y'all are going at the same time and don't nobody know what you're saying, according to the scripture, okay, there you go. Sit down somewhere. Sit down. And I'd rather you, my God, I'd rather you talk to me in English so I can understand what you're saying. And what is happening in the Pentecostal churches, in our churches, is we want to feel extra spiritual. So when we go to pray for somebody, we never saw where any of the apostles spoke in tongues in order to pray for somebody. We never saw any of that. But here we are. We get in the prayer line, and the first thing we want to do is speak in tongues. Don't nobody know what you're saying. We want to be. Thank you. That one of the members said extra holy. Yeah, we want to look. We want to look pharisaical and Sadducean. Those are not right words, but they just sound good to me on the night. We want to look the part. Okay, we want to look the part. And this is the reason why so many people have thought they had God and possibly had God, but because somebody told them, well, man, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. Sir. Tell me what in the world a thief on the cross in his dying hour, in his dying hour, there had to be that he knew he was a thief. He was guilty, and he knew he was guilty. Something had to quicken him to make him acknowledge who Jesus was.
Yes,
he had no time to roll in the dirt. He had no time to roll in the dirt. Something had to quicken him to say, leave him alone.
Yeah.
We guilty.
Yeah,
we deserve what we get. We deserve what we get. He's done no wrong. He is innocent.
Yeah.
Something had to quicken him even in his dying hour. Even in his dying hour, something had to quicken. You just talked about the Holy Ghost will quicken our mortal bodies. It'll quicken. That word quicken means make alive, to bring alive.
That's right.
So this man, in his, he was alive naturally, but spiritually he was dead. But something quickened in him in his dying hour to make him confess Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that at the point of his statement, he had no time to roll, wasn't nobody in his ear saying, tie, 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 and shoo, shoo, shoo. But Jesus said, this day thou wilt be with me, paradise.
Right.
So I'm just saying that, there's a lot of things that, and you did a great job, and I know if we open this up, it's going to be a whole bunch of traditionalists that's going to say, well, y'all got the wrong thing. Well, show us in the book, okay? Show us in the book. Show us, and there's a preacher, I think he's down here in Atlanta, where he would say, let the book talk. Let the book talk.
Yes.
Okay, so we've done a lot of things, and some of these same ones that has told us we got to do it like this, they sissies. They faggots. They homosexual. They cheating on their wives. Or they die.
Yes, sir.
Come on with it.
Yes, sir. Or they
so dead. We just got to, or dead. So we got to look at the book. We got to let the book be our reference points.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking away from what happened in Azusa. I'm not taking away from Bishop Mason. I believe in my heart that he was a great man of God. I believe it.
Yes.
I'm just saying there's some things that has been taught to us that doesn't even line up with the scripture. Now, whether that came from whoever or whatever, it's just the truth, because some of the ways that we was raised, and when we look now, I'm 41. When I look back now in the book, and I'm like, where did y'all get this from? Where did you get woman not wearing earrings? Where did you get when God made earrings for Israel? Where do we get all this stuff from? Where do we get all this? And I, you know, I'm just saying, a lot of we've put a lot of our tradition and what we just feel is right, and we in a lot of cases we didn't have scriptures to support it. Some women need weave in their hair. Okay, if that's gonna make that woman feel good, some women need a little lipstick on. If that's going to make her feel pretty, feel good about herself, you know, that don't mean she being a harlot. That don't mean she painting up herself. She could be doing that for her husband.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes,
I think it was a way for people to control us. It was a way for
yes,
them
sir.
To control and manipulate
yes, sir.
Us when we were coming up. And see, when you young, then you become old.
Yes, sir.
Then you become an old manipulator. So
yes,
you were manipulating when you
yes,
were younger. It was a controlling thing. It was a controlling factor to keep
yes.
us all controlled and bound. It was a bondage
yes.
thing. You know.
Yes.
So they come up with all this stuff to keep us
yes.
bound, you know, and think that, you know, I heard Cuthbert Dollar say one time, he said, you had a woman in church with a dress down to her knees. And next time you
right.
see her, she's pregnant with the same dress on down to her knees. You know, and she ain't even married, you know. So it was a way to bond us, you know, just to have us
yes.
bound, you know, and manipulate and control
yes.
us, you know.
That's it.
And they may have meant well, I don't know or not.
Yeah,
you know,
they may have.
And Pentecostalism, as you say, and, you know,
yeah.
and so I, you know, we was bound. We couldn't go to the
yeah,
movies.
Man.
We couldn't go to skating. We couldn't be bowling.
Yeah.
We couldn't.
Yeah.
It was just bondage.
Yes.
It was just bondage. It was a borderline cult. Now that I look at
yes, it was.
It,
yes, it was.
It was a borderline cult. You know, everybody
that's
looked
right.
the same. Everybody wearing.
Yep.
Dresses, denim dresses at a picnic, you know.
Yeah, in the summer.
Like, In the summer, yeah. You know, you could wear rings. The only thing you could wear if you was married was your wedding band, you know. And, you know, so it was.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up that way, too, so I know exactly what you mean.
So
yeah.
So throughout the years, people have not been going to study. They've been fascinated by the leadership to take it. That they were right, and that's throughout the years. That's years. And when Paul was speaking to the Bereans, they said, hold on, we got to check the scriptures for this. We got to go back and they followed him and said, okay, we'll hear some more then.
Yes.
Because you were right. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Yes.
On what you were saying earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting at verse 11. Therefore, if I know not of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret it. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I pray with the spirit, and I pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, of it is not edified. What's the business of the church?
Wow, edified.
Prophesying is to those who believe. Talking in tongues is a sign to those who don't.
Yes.
So, man, you don't open a can of worms, and this chapter goes on and on. And I'm said that it's a new revelation, it's a new understanding, it's longer
man.
To get, and we as like the Bereans ought to go back and study and see if,
that's
just like I read that scripture on what you were saying, that's what the Bereans done.
That's
they
right,
went and
man.
Checked what you say.
That's right.
And you get a better,
amen.
People have a better understanding and more respect for the man of God if he's truthful.
Amen.
See,
amen.
And a man of God can save your life. Only God can. A man of God, if you follow him wrongly, go to hell.
Right. Yes.
And you're still doing hell.
Yes. Yes. All right.
Y'all
all right, now. See, y'all done started something. Now, we done went. And all we're going to start getting calls because we done went over time. Listen, beloved, we just want to, we know the scripture tells us to get wisdom and to get knowledge, but in all our getting, we want to get an understanding. And that's all that we have a saying at Praise Tabernacle. We may not agree on everything, but we agree to disagree, but we don't fall out. And all we want you to do tonight is search the scriptures. Search the scriptures.
Well,
just, you know, not coming against how anybody was raised. I thank God for my roots in holiness. I thank God for the way I was brought up. I honor that. I'm just saying, I want to go to heaven. And we want to be, as Elder Bluette stated, we want to be like the Berean folk. We want to go back and investigate, because what has happened is years later, some of these same ones that manipulated the scriptures and done all kind of things, we found out that they wasn't living what they was telling us and what we thought they were living.
Right.
And what happens is, in a lot of cases, I know this in my own life. I know this. Can't nobody tell me this. I know this for myself. Elder Bluette just mentioned it. When we look at leaders, and we sometimes, if we're not careful, we can allow that leader to take the place of God. And what happens when that leader falls? When that leader falls, okay, because God is a jealous God. So when that leader falls, then you got marriages that'll be destroyed. You got people's lives that'll be destroyed. You got people's children. I know personally of folks, because of what happened in my personal life, that marriages, I mean, I can count numerous marriages that was destroyed. And you fall because you was looking at this person and you took your eyes off God. And that's all we want you to do tonight. You ain't, listen, you don't even have to agree with us. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. Don't look at no man. Don't put no man in the place of Jesus Christ. Don't put no man. Nobody even deserves to be mentioned even around the throne. Okay. No.
That's right. God,
Jesus is he's standing. He's there. So be careful. Love your leader. Okay. I want, as my daddy used to say, I want y'all to love me, but I don't want you to worship me. Okay. So let's be mindful. Let's give heed. Let's take heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. And as I gave the scriptures and Elder Bluette confirmed the scriptures, just go and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 13, Paul gives the order for the church. He gives the order.
Sir.
Sometimes, because we've been doing it so long, we're like, hey, I've been doing it this way. I just feel when I pray in the open, I'm supposed to speak in tongues. Not knowing you know, if you're going to pray in the open, unless you got interpretation, it's best to just pray in the language that you know so it can edify who you're praying for. Okay? So we just want to, you know, we love everybody on tonight. You know, we ain't worried about no backlash, because we all grown men and grown women on here, and one thing about us, we can stand on our own. So we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. The saints have been texting me now, just going crazy, and they've enjoyed tonight. When Elder Taylor told me what he was teaching, because he said I kind of hit on it a little bit Sunday, and he was like, Pastor, please stay out the message. When he told me what he was teaching, I already knew. Because these are things that have to be talked about. And, yeah, we know some folks going to disagree. And the reason why a lot of them will disagree is because they done taught it for so long. They done taught it for so long. They done bamboozled. And as Elder Taylor said, they've manipulated. They've manipulated the scripture and the actual text and the meaning. We've done so much eisegesis that we don't know how to exegete the scripture. We don't know how to exegete the text anymore. Tonight with Elder Taylor, man, I tell you what, Lord, if anybody called me, I'm giving them your number. That's for sure. I'm giving them your number tonight.
You the pastor.
We thank you. We brothers. We brothers and sisters. Evangelist Stanton, I'm getting well. Evangelist Stanton already gave her number out. I'm going to remind them of that number, and I'm giving Elder Bluette number, and I'm giving y'all number on tonight. Amen. God bless you, all our chaos. And I'm giving Elder Oliver number. Yeah, he's one of our elders, too. He's in here with us tonight, him and his wife. They in here. They in with us on tonight. But we thank you so much. We want you to continue to chase after God like never before. In times like this, don't let the devil fool you into believing you have more time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw unto him while he is near. The scripture says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Get your life together. And the only way you're going to get your life together is through the Holy Ghost introducing and God drawing you to his son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you tonight. We glorify you. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for that great expository teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept. A very difficult, in some circles, can be a very difficult conversation to have because of what we've been taught and what we've thought the word meant. But God, now we thank you that we know a more excellent way, and we want to walk therein. We want to be obedient to your word. And we thank you that we know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word is going to stand. Bless all the members, those that are listening, Praise Tabernacle Church, our Chaos Blog Talk Radio members. We thank you so much for them, the several thousands that tune in every Tuesday night, every Friday, and every Sunday. We glorify you. And as we leave this place, but never your presence. As always, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.
Good night.
Money is spent, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do.